Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We began 2020 with this theme, Christ in me. And before we introduce the new theme next year, I wanted to take a little bit of time to look back at this theme and just some of the things that God's worked in our hearts this past year. Galatians chapter 2 is where we're going to find our text. And once you've found that, would you stand with me, please? And we're going to read this verse together. I love that song that we just sang and just the great truths that it holds. And I hope that you hold on to those truths. To this I hold. We hold on to Jesus Christ. We hold on to what he's done for us. We hold on to what he's yet to do in the future, because if you belong to Jesus, he's in you and he is with you and he's working in your life and he's coming back to get you one day. Amen. And we have much to hold on to today, great hope in Christ. And so if you look in your Bibles or here on the screen, let's read this out loud together this morning. All right, ready, begin. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together. We thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness, your mercy and your grace for us through this past year. Lord, there are so many heartaches that we've experienced, so many tragedies that have happened, so much difficulty that we faced. And the only reason we stand here today is by your grace. Lord, we thank you that no matter what this world brings, no matter what trouble and trial and tribulation we face, no matter what sorrow overwhelms our heart, when we have Christ, we have everything we need. We have hope for eternity. We have life everlasting. We have joy for today, hope for tomorrow. And Father, I just pray that you'll help as we come together today, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. Lord, both here in this service and those who are joining us online, I pray that you'll work in every heart and every life. I pray anyone here today or listening who's never been born again, Lord, that they would hear your word and your spirit today, that right now you would show them their need for a Savior. And Father, that today they would repent of their sin and unbelief. Today, they would trust with all their heart in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, that he died for them, he rose again, and today would be the day they would call on your name and be saved. And for all who are saved, Lord, I pray you'll work in our hearts in a special way today. Help us to look back with joy on what you've done and help us to look forward with faith in what you're yet to do. Lord, we thank you, and I pray you'll help me from nothing without you, and I pray you'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I know we don't read out loud very often, and for some of you that's kind of weird or different or whatever, but listen, I want you to know that if you are born again, you can read that. Amen. You can own that. Amen. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If you have been saved, you can read those words. They're yours. Because this is what God has done. This wasn't just the Apostle Paul because he was an apostle, even though he was one born out of due season. This isn't because he was a great missionary and led many people to Christ. He didn't have the ability to claim this because of what he had done in his life. He had the ability to claim this because what Christ had done when he first believed. The moment Paul trusted Christ as a Savior on the road to Damascus, this statement was true for him. And listen, friends, it's true for you if you're born again. I wanted to take the opportunity to point out to you, those that are in the room, the banners that we have hanging up. It's been interesting to go back and kind of look through the years. I think, if my memory is right, our first Sunday here at Calvary was March the 23rd, 2014. Now, I'm sure that seems like an eternity ago for you people. In some ways, it seems like it was a lifetime ago, and in other ways, it feels like it was just yesterday. It's gone by really quick. 2014, that's a little bit further ago than I'd like to think, right? But we came here, and some of you might remember, we started with a series called Vital Signs for healthy churches. And when God called me here, I wanted us to be a healthy church. You know, I don't know a pastor that says, I really want a small church. I don't want very many people to come. I think every pastor would say, I want to pastor a big church. We want more people to come, more people to be saved, more people to be growing. All right, me and four people want that. Good. Might want to examine ourselves today. We want more people to know Jesus. We want more people to be disciples. But I understand the truth that our goal can't be a big church. That can't be what we're after. What we want to be is a healthy church. We want to be a biblically healthy church. And if we are healthy, we will grow. And so we need to look at our hearts and look at the reality of the church. And I'll just go ahead and let you give on some good news today. I don't bear the burden of our church being healthy alone. It's not my responsibility alone as a pastor. I carry a lot of that burden, and I own that because God's called me to be the pastor. But guess what? I'm not the church. We are the church. And if the church isn't healthy, that may be some of my blame, but it may be some of your blame as well. And we need to own that as we come to the beginning of the new year. We need to take some inventory. What have I done to help our church to be a healthy church? What have I done? And we want to be a church that's Christ-centered above everything else. We want to keep Christ first. He is to have the preeminence in all things. And we want to make sure that we keep him the focus. I think if we're honest, some of us would have to say this year, we maybe have taken our eyes off of Jesus along the way some. Maybe instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus, we've been focused on the election. Maybe instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus, we've been focused on the pandemic. Maybe we've been more concerned about a virus than we have been the one who died for us. And I just want to say that we want to get our focus back on Jesus. We want to be a healthy church. We've got to be Christ-centered. We've got to be biblical. You know, we say often the Bible is our all-sufficient rule of faith and practice. I believe that statement with all my heart. The Bible is our all-sufficient rule of faith and practice. What's that mean? The Bible has everything we need for what to believe and how to live. We don't have to go outside the Bible to get any of that. And the Word of God is our foundation. The Word of God is what we go to for truth. And listen, friends, there are a lot of voices in the world today. And what we need to do is get back to the Bible. We get back to the Bible. If we're going to be a healthy church, we've got to be an evangelistic church. Jesus gave the church a purpose. And if we're going to be a healthy church, we've got to be evangelistic. We've got to be about reaching other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We try to equip that. We give you guys gospel tracts. They're an amazing tool, gospel tracts are. Some people call them icebreakers because, you know, it's hard to start a conversation with somebody you don't know. It's kind of awkward. But this makes it a lot easier when you just say, hey, can I give you something to read? Or you could be really clever and say, hey, can I give you some good news? See how that works? Good. No? Gospel, good news. Listen, we can't start the new year off this way, people. You're killing me. It's not time to go to sleep yet. You can at least wait until we get through the first point. These are great. You can give them to people, and sometimes people do an amazing thing. You give them one, and they'll say, what is it? And you get to tell them. It's a gospel track, and you can share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to equip you to do that. But listen, friends, as we go through our daily lives, we've got to be reaching people with the gospel. We have our Sunday afternoons where we have a time to decide for us as a church to go out. We've been blessed to have more people going this year than we've had in years past. Hey, welcome to 2020. We've had more people going more regularly to reach our community with the gospel in 2020 than ever before. That's good. That's good. And guess what? 2021 is a good time for you to get involved in our corporate evangelistic efforts. And a church that's going to be healthy has got to be a unified church. We've got to have unity. We've got to have unity. The only way we can have unity is when you and I are focused on Christ. It goes back to the first point. When you're focused on Jesus and I'm focused on Jesus, we will be unified. It's not about me being like you and you being like me. It's about us all trying to have the heart of Christ, all striving to have his mind, his heart. And so we talked about that. 2015, we don't have a banner for it, but we talked about being rooted in Christ. Our theme for that year came from Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. 2015, we spent a lot of time talking about being rooted in Christ. We want everything that we have in this life, everything we do in this life, to be settled in Him, to be grounded in Him, to grow out of Christ. Brother Mike read this morning from John 15 that we are to abide in Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. We want to be in Him, and everything we do grows out of Christ. In 2016, the banner there at the back is greater. That was our theme for that year, and you could see the verse that it came from over here on this side. John 14, 12, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Listen, we know that we can see greater things than we've ever seen before because Jesus is greater. I don't know if you remember, if you were here that year, we went through the book of Hebrews that year, and man, what a great study. And if you weren't here from that, I encourage you to go back and listen to that. Hebrews is just an incredible story, and it's an incredible study, and it's all about this. Jesus is better than everything else. Whatever you know about in the Bible, in the Old Testament, whatever you know about in history, whatever you know about in the universe, Jesus is greater. And that's what Hebrews is all about. If you found Jesus, you found everything. You don't need to look anywhere else because He's greater. And what a great, great year that was. 2017, our theme was real, because we don't like fake. We don't like fake. Did anybody see the Queen of England's public service announcement last week or the week before? Did anybody see that? Nobody has any idea what I'm talking about right now? Okay, let me tell you a story. Somebody will be Googling it as soon as we're done. People at home can do that right now, and nobody's going to check them on it. So she made an announcement. She was sitting there talking, made an announcement. Well, it came out later that it was actually not really the Queen. It was a deep fake video. Yeah, isn't that awesome? There's a video of the Queen, but it's not actually the Queen. It's movie magic. It's movie magic. I don't know about you, but that concerns me. It concerns me that they can put somebody's face in a video and make it look like somebody to the point that everybody thinks it's real. It's so convincing now. And listen, they could take your face and put it in a video and make it look like you did something awful. Or they could make it look like you did something good. And some of us could use some help in that area. I don't know. I'm just saying that we don't like fake. We want real. We expect other people to be real, but God expects us to be real. And it was 1 Timothy 1:5. It's right there on the wall. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That's real faith. And we spent the whole year talking about being real. 2018, our theme was for His glory. It came from Psalm 96 and verse 3. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. As God's people, we want to see His glory. And then we want to make His glory known. We want to know Him, and we want to make Him known. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. And we want to take the glory that we see of God, and we want to share it with other people. In 2019, our theme was simplicity. From 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." 2019, I just had a burden on my heart that we would just get back to the basics. We get so busy and so consumed with so much going on, and if we're not careful, we'll get away from this. It's just Jesus. It's Him crucified and risen again. It's Him coming again. It's Christ. It's who He is and what He's done for us. And if we're not careful, we'll get moved away from that. We can even get busy with good things. We can get busy with church work and ministry and events and all the things that we do. And if we're not careful, we'll be cumbered about with much work, with much service, and we'll forget to just sit and linger at the feet of Jesus. And we need to be reminded of that as we move into the new year. Of course, 2020 was Christ in me. We read the verse together just a little bit ago, and I'm thankful for a new year. It always feels fresh. A new year just like newly fallen snow. I saw a friend on Facebook the other day. They they'd been kind of, it was kind of a nasty day, kind of yucky and muddy and cloudy and just wasn't nice. But then overnight it snowed because they are blessed with snow, and some of us wish we could get snow here. Where's my snow people? All right, how many of you are glad it's not here? Uh-huh, yeah, figures. Okay, but they woke up, the day before it was muddy, it was yucky, it was dreary, it was nasty, but the next day they woke up and they had just, everything was covered with snow, and they said it was just like fresh, it was new, it was beautiful, it was clean. And I'm thankful for opportunities to kind of start again. I'm glad God gives us that every year. I think the new year is a great time to take some inventory, to examine how we did last year, and to allow God to convict our hearts on how we want to do better this year. How many of you want to do better this year? Yeah, me too. Me too. I want to do better this year. Every day, when the sun comes up in Washington, D.C., whatever may be going on with our Supreme Court justices, who most of them don't know justice. Every day when the sun comes up in Washington, D.C., whatever's going on in the White House, whatever you think about our current president or whoever's going to be there in a few weeks, when the sun comes up in Washington, D.C., no matter what's going on in the houses of Congress or the House of Senate, at the very top of the Washington Monument, it stands 550 feet in the air, 555 feet in the air. There's a monument on the top of that. It's Latin, and it says, Laus Deo. And it means, praise be to God. Every morning when the sun comes up, the first thing in Washington, D.C. that the sunlight hits is a marker that says, praise be to God. Now listen, there's a lot of people in Washington, D.C. who have forgotten God. They've abandoned his truth, they've abandoned his word, and they all do that which is right in their own eyes. By the way, just let me help you out. If you're wondering why there's so much division in this country, everybody's doing what they believe is right. They think they're right. The problem is that I don't care whichever side they're on, most of them aren't looking to this book to see what's right. We see that there, but friends, today we need to see it right here. You and I often do what we see is right in our own eyes instead of seeing what is right according to God. And we don't want to forget God in 2021. We want to remember that we are crucified with Christ. And we look to our text today, Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I want to remind you today that in biblical times, when you saw a cross, you didn't think, oh, there's a Christian. You know, today we see crosses. Do you do this? Do you see somebody that wears a necklace that's got a cross on it, and you go, I wonder if they're really a Christian? Anybody else do that? I see a lot of athletes and people on TV and stuff, and they'll have a cross necklace, and I go, I wonder if they're a Christian. Because, you know, normally people who aren't Christians don't wear crosses. But let me tell you something. In biblical days, when you saw a cross, that's not what you thought of. When you were traveling somewhere and you maybe were coming up towards Jerusalem and you came over a rise and you could see the city and you saw crosses outside the city, it wasn't a good omen. What you knew is that someone had died. That's what crucifixion meant. And when Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, what he means is, I am dead. But then he says, nevertheless, I live. And when you are born again, you are dead and alive. Not dead or alive, but dead and alive. He said to those at the church at Ephesus, they were at one time dead in trespasses and sins. Before we were dead in sin. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened, and the word quickened means to be made alive. You hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, I hope that today you are in Christ and you know that you are alive, but I want to give warning to anyone who hears this message who's never been saved, because you are right now dead. Now you might say, well, listen, I'm sitting here, I'm breathing, I think my heart's beating pretty good, maybe a little bit fast this morning, too much coffee, but I'm certainly alive. Listen, spiritually, if you aren't in Christ, you are dead. And today, if you are in Christ, you are alive in Him. At one time, you weren't. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. He goes on in verse 2, and he says, wherein, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, listen, there are a lot of people who are dead, and they don't know it. I hate squirrels. Anybody else hate squirrels? All right. I'm not completely alone. Squirrels get in our attic and in our storage building, our shop building, and they make a nasty mess everywhere. They have no respect for our property. No respect. And since we live in Oklahoma and squirrel season's like almost all of the year, praise the Lord, I set about to eliminate our squirrel problem. Now, if you know where we live up on the mountain, that's a heavy task. But it just got to be for a while, they were overrunning our property, so I kept the 12-gauge loaded and ready, and every time there was a squirrel in the yard, it went away. Melissa and I walked out in the yard one day, and I shot at a squirrel, and she thought that I missed it with a 12-gauge. Not that that couldn't be right, but this time it wasn't. Because I shot the squirrel, and it took off, and it ran up the tree. And I said, no, he's dead. He just doesn't know it yet. He ran about 20 feet up in the tree, and then he fell down dead, which is the way all squirrels should be. No, I'm not quite that bad. There are a lot of people in the world today that are dead and they don't know it. They're running around. They seem to be just fine. They seem to be alive. Maybe they think that the curse of sin missed them. But friends, they're dead. They just don't know it yet. One of the things that we're to do as Christians is to let them know. We're to give them the law so that they'll become guilty before God, so their mouths will be stopped. They'll understand that they are in need of a Savior. Friends, when you were without Christ, you were dead. You walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Listen, some of you still look back at your life before you were saved and you think, well, I wasn't saved, but I wasn't really that bad. Listen, you were a child of your father, the devil. You say, well, I'm not quite as bad as some of these other people. No, you didn't belong to Christ. You didn't have faith. You didn't have hope. And you were without God. You were an enemy of God. And that's where everyone in this world without Christ is this morning. Dead in their trespasses and sins. They have no hope. And they were the children of the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience at one time worked in you and I. And we need to remember where we were without Christ. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the lust of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath. That's who we were without Christ. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but thanks be to God. I want you to look at what he says in verse 4, Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You were dead. You were a child of your father, the devil. You were on your way to eternity, separated from God in hell and the lake of fire. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us, he loved you, so he died on the cross for you. And because of his mercy, you have life everlasting now. He's quickened you. He's made you alive. I just want to remind you today of what Paul's trying to say when he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. I want to ask you this morning, are you alive in Christ? Are you alive in Christ? Go ahead and think about it a second. I'll know when you realize you're alive in Christ because you'll look a little happier than you look right now. Hey, I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget. I forget where I was and where I stand in Christ today. And I want to remember. I want you to remember. By grace are you saved. Man, I don't know if you guys get frustrated. Every once in a while I get frustrated. Okay, I get frustrated all the time. I think it's going to have to be one of my New Year's resolutions just to not get frustrated so easy. And you could pray for me about that. But sometimes I get frustrated about the right thing. I can't tell you how many times I've gone through the gospel of people in our community who believe. You ask them if they know what's going to happen to them. You ask them if God asked them, why should I let you into my kingdom? Almost everyone will say something like, because I'm a good person. Now, I want you to clearly understand this today. No one has ever, no one will ever get to heaven by being good. Are you with me? There is none righteous, no, not one. And so they say, I'm going to go to heaven because I've been a good person. So we give them the law. We show them that they've been guilty of the law, and they'll confess to you. They say, yeah, I've lied. I've stolen. I've looked with lust. I've blasphemed God's holy name. I've hated people. So would you be guilty? Oh, I'd be guilty. So how would you get to heaven? Well, because I'm a good person. And so we go back around again. And we explain the law and how we're guilty. And that's why Jesus Christ came. He died to save us. He died to pay our sin debt. And we don't get to heaven by being good. We get to heaven by trusting in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. So the only way you get to heaven is by faith. And through his grace. It's by grace, through his faith, that we get to be saved. And we go through all that. And they go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So now, what would you say? How would you know that you could go to heaven? Well, I just got to be a better person. I don't know. I don't know how Satan's done it. But he has done an incredible job of convincing the people of the United States of America, the state of Oklahoma, the community of Sequoia County and Muldrow, Oklahoma, that the way you get to heaven is by being a better person. Satan has convinced people that you get to heaven by being good, and no matter how many times they hear the gospel, they seem to not be able to get past that mental block. And I just want to help you today. If you're going to heaven, it's not because you're good, because you're not good. There's only one good, and that's God. And Jesus Christ, the perfect Savior, died for you. He gave his life for you, and he is the only way you can get to heaven. It's by his mercy and his great love wherewith he loved us, that he died for you, and he rose again the third day. And if you're going to heaven, it's because of him, not because of you. I don't know. I thought maybe if I said it loud enough, you'd get it. Sometimes I got to say it louder for my kids to hear and understand. Maybe you're the same way. Listen, if you're saved, it's because of Jesus. You live because of him. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. Look at verse 5 again there in Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. We're made alive with Jesus. By grace, ye are saved. And because it's so good, look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, you're crucified with Christ, but you're raised up with Christ. Just like Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He's raised us up together. Do you notice the tense? He's made us sit together in heavenly places. That's present tense. Now listen, I know you're sitting in Muldrow, Oklahoma. It's not exactly heavenly places. Come on, people, it's okay. I don't care if it's Muldrow or Vian or where I come from, Braggs, Oklahoma. It's not exactly heavenly places, is it? And to all you Arkansas people, Arkansas is not heavenly places either. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. It says that I sit together in heavenly places. It's present tense. Listen, friends, it's as good as done. Your penalty of sin was paid for on the cross. When he saved you forever. That inheritance is already yours. How do you know? Because he's given you the earnest of his spirit. He put his spirit inside you. He lives inside of you so that you know you sit together in heavenly places in Christ. You know that you've been raised up together with him. It's already done. Verse 7 says that so that in order that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Listen, notice he says in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Jesus saved you. He saved you forever and ever. You're going to be with him in heaven forever and ever. And he's going to keep showing you the exceeding riches of his grace towards you forever and ever. This is an ongoing process. People say sometimes, what are we going to do in heaven? I heard somebody say one time, we're just going to stand around the throne and sing to Jesus? Like, that sounds boring. I promise you, it's not going to be boring. What a glorious thought. You'll never be bored in heaven. Sometimes my kids tell me they're bored. I love it when they say that. I have a remedy for that. There's always a task that I don't want to do that needs to be done. Those are reserved for bored children. Man, I told my dad I was bored one time, and at the end of that day, I resolved never to tell him I was bored again. Yeah. Listen, you're not going to be bored in heaven. He's going to spend eternity. Look at this. The exceeding riches of his grace. He's going to spend eternity showing you just how good he was to you when Jesus died for you. You think that you know right now? You have no clue. You think, we think that we have some understanding of how good he is and the riches of his grace. We haven't begun to understand. And we're going to spend eternity, he's going to spend eternity showing us just how good he is to us. Man, I think about creation. You know, he's going to do away with this universe. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. I think about how awesome this one is. I do. I mean, we studied for his glory. Just go outside and look at the stars. My friend Daniel Smith does astrophotography, and he's been taking some incredible pictures of galaxies and stuff. It's amazing, God's handiwork. We look at all the things that God's made on this planet. If you've ever been to the mountains or the ocean or just looked up at the stars at night, it's awesome. And just imagine what it's going to be like in the future with a new heaven and new earth that's never cursed by sin. Wow. He's going to show us forever. Verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And if you'll just take verses 8 through 10, it'll clear up all of this trouble we seem to have with theology around here. You're not saved by your good works. You're saved by grace through faith. After you're saved, then you live to do good works, not to be saved, but because you are saved. I don't know that he could say it any plainer than he does right there. So, before we were dead in sin, now we're dead to sin and alive unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Would you look in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6 with me for just a moment. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What's he saying? He says this, our old man is crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that from this moment on, henceforth, from this moment on, we should not serve sin. Look at verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, verse 8, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died for your sins. He died unto sin. He died one time. He rose again, and he lives forever. And in the same way, when you got saved, your old man was crucified with Christ, and now we're to live and walk in newness of life. You've heard the story before in some places in ancient times when somebody committed murder. The punishment that they would give to somebody would be to take the dead body of the person they murdered and to chain it to their body. And they would basically wear the person they murdered around until the decay of that body infected their body and they died. I know it's a beautiful picture for a Sunday morning. You're welcome. I just, when I think of that, I think of the picture God gives us in his word that when we're saved, we're dead. The old man is dead. And I think that what we do when we go back to sin, and be honest today, because if we're going to live for Jesus in the new year, we're going to have to be honest with ourselves. We go back to sin. We go back to the old man. And we think it's fun and we think it's pleasurable for a season, but in reality what we're doing is picking up a dead body and carrying it around. It's our own dead body. And we drag it around with it, and what it does is it infects us with its corruption. And it keeps us from being able to live the life that God's called us to live. And so what do you do? What do you do? You say, preacher, my sin has too much power over me. I just can't overcome it. I can't help it. And I promise you, I preach to you today from my heart. I tell you that I know how you feel. There have been times in my Christian life when I have struggled with sin to the point that I think I cannot overcome it. I can't do it. I'm defeated. But I want you to look at what he says. You are dead to sin, and death has no more dominion over you. That's verse 9. If you are alive in Christ, you're dead to sin, and sin doesn't have dominion over you anymore. So you don't have to live under its control. You and I have a choice. When I choose to sin, I am always without excuse because he has always made a way to escape. Verse 12, Romans 6, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, your body, as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I want to ask you today, are you alive in Christ? I told you before about the man in April of 1988. There was a photographer who was a skydiver. And he was going to video the skydivers as they jumped out of the plane and they did their formations and all those things. And he was going to jump with them and video all of that on the way down. This is 88. Some of you remember 88? They didn't have GoPros back then. Everything was going good. Jumped out of the plane. The guys were doing their formations. He videoed it. They all separated and started to pull their ripcords. Their chutes deployed. And there was panic in the photographer as he reached for his ripcord and it wasn't there. Because he had jumped out of the plane without a parachute. What I want to happen in your heart today, if you're not saved, is for you to realize that you've already jumped out of the plane. You're on your way to eternity. And without Christ, you are without a parachute. Without Christ, there's no hope for you. But the Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, you can be saved. You don't have to plummet into an eternity without hope, without God. You can have forgiveness of sin. You can have life everlasting, but you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I plead with you today, make sure that your trust is in Him. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. Will you stand with me, please? In his book, The Goldmine, Dr. Lee Roberson wrote about a young man who was saved during a revival meeting in a mining village. And he got convicted. He just got saved, and he wanted other people to get saved. So he got some tracts and was going around handing out those gospel tracts and talking to people about Jesus, his new Savior. And he ran into some old friends. And like old friends tend to do, they started to make fun of him. They started to mock him for his new faith. And one of them said, "Hey, can you tell me where Christ is?" Excuse me. He said, "Hey, can you tell me where hell is? Can you tell me where hell is?" And the young man said, "Yes. It's at the end of a Christless life." Where's hell? It's at the end of life without Christ. Going to church doesn't make you saved. The only thing that can save you is the grace of God when you put your faith in Jesus. If you're not saved, I plead with you to trust in Him today. And if you are saved, remember that you're alive in Christ today, and you're alive in Christ forever. If He's convicting your heart today, you come while we sing. Page 560.